Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. After being cooped up for more than a year, a lot of people are ready to travel. Take a peep at social media, and you'll see quite a few have already started. Near or far, what is the new normal for traveling? If you're not ready to travel overseas, what can you do for an inexpensive day trip or overnight? Well, joining me to talk about this and give us some sage advice are Javon Harley, president of Advantage International and host of the Traveling Culturati, and Lucinda Anderson Hughes, the frugal socialite and travel expert. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at hfisher, W-H-U-R, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. And if you are already out and about sipping on a pina colada or margarita, take the straw out of your mouth and give me a call. Javon and Lucinda.
Hi, Harold.
Hey, what's happening?
Oh,
I
wonderful. I wish I had
margarita.
A pina colada.
Yeah. See? Look at you. Javon, you're not on the beach somewhere yet, are you?
Not yet.
Okay. What about you, Lucinda? Are you sunbathing somewhere?
I am always sunbathing. Even if it's in my backyard.
Why am I not surprised?
Because I'm the frugal socialite.
That's
right.
I can
create an oasis anywhere.
Yeah, just put out that cot in front of the mural in your basement and put on a sun lamp. You're good.
That's there fantastic. It's a state of mind.
It most certainly
right.
is. And speaking of state of mind, Javon, it looks like, as I said, a lot of people have already decided to get up, get out, and get away. Is it too early to travel?
No, it's not too early to travel because people are already doing it. You just have to get your ducks in a row. You have to make your traveler's checklist because that's very, very important. You need to know where you're going, what you're going into, what the protocols are, what the restrictions are, and what you need to do to get there and to get back home.
Is there a lot to consider?
Well, safety first, of course. We are still in a pandemic. Things may look like they're not because we're all gung-ho and we really want to get out there and travel, but the pandemic is still here. We know that. Some are vaccinated, some are not. States have COVID protocols, mask mandates, some don't. Internationally, countries have either vaccination requirements or mask mandates or other COVID protocols. And if you're traveling internationally, the United States requires that you present or produce a negative PCR test to return home. So, yes, you have to consider those things.
Do you have to pay for that?
In most cases, yes, you have to pay for it. Now, some hotels and resorts are including that because they want you there. So some are including that as part of your stay, but some are not.
Pull out that flexible spending card if you have it. Lucinda, you know, one of the things that I've been hearing from some of my friends is that they are not necessarily ready to leave the continental United States. They'd rather stay on dry land and travel in the region. What are you hearing and what are you suggesting for those who are looking for cheap things to do? Or should I say, you know, for my bougie friends, inexpensive things to do?
Or phenomenally frugal things to do. You know, I don't promote fear because I think fear can be really crippling and it can definitely keep you in the house. But this is one time that I say traveling out of the country can be an extra layer of precaution with things that you may not really anticipate. For instance, I love to cruise. That's my biggest withdrawal throughout the whole pandemic. However, being stuck somewhere overseas when suddenly something happens and you can't get back home and you're quarantined somewhere else. That's a whole different protocol than being in the United States. So I concur with many who are keeping it regional. And that's what I've done. I got to a point in the pandemic where I was tired of being ultra paranoid and wearing, you know, a hazmat suit. I mean, I had gear that was so fashionably, you know, it was fashionable, right? It was safe. It was hospital grade. I used all my contacts and got things that, you know, nuclear scientists had. But when I decided to venture out, I thought about where those open spaces were, where they were already equipped to eat outside because this was a riverfront area or it was known for its natural beauty. And I went to those places with my own quarantine kit.
Mm. So what do you suggest now? Give me a couple of places in the DMV region where, you know, where people will feel comfortable. You know, name some names, call out some places, states, whatever.
Great. Well, Chesapeake Beach is straight down Pennsylvania Avenue. It turns into Route 4 in Maryland. Keep trucking past the Upper Marlboro region, and in about 20 minutes, you're at Chesapeake Beach. Lots of people know this area for the resort and spa that has the casino gaming. Hmm. Those little casinos have been there forever. It's not on the level of MGM. It's more like bingo and that kind of gaming and slot machines. So they have really built up, and they've added another restaurant, and everything there is riverfront. They have outdoor concerts. But if you keep going past the water park and past that resort, you open up into an area called Harrington Harbor. There's one wonderful resort there where most of the rooms are self-catering, meaning that they have a kitchen. And they also have their own hot tubs and a gated courtyard that's a part of your room.
Mm.
There's also a beautiful restaurant there. And a great upscale deli. When you go out that far, you forget that you're even in the DMV. It's so beautiful and very unspoiled on the bay. That's one of my places that I love to escape to several times a week.
I'm going to check in with some other places, too, later on in the program from you. But let me get to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about the new normal for traveling as we begin to come out of the pandemic, whether you're trying to go overseas, somewhere in the U.S. or regionally. What do you need to know before you do it? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Wanda calling from Maryland. Hey, Wanda, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, guys. Yeah, no.
Nope.
I'm not ready yet. Nope. I know a lot of my friends have traveled outside of the country, and, you know, God bless them. I'm just not ready. I mean, my husband and I made a huge investment in our backyard, and we made our backyard our paradise. You know, it's almost as though, you know, we go outside, and I just want to be home. I don't want to go anywhere anymore. Not right now.
So what do you think it'll take, Wanda, to get you to want to travel? And I'm not advocating. I'm not trying to push you out of your backyard. But, you know, what will it take?
The good thing is, you know, we've done a lot of traveling before the pandemic. So, we've been a lot of places on, you know, I don't know how many countless cruises and what have you. But, you know, Carol, I'm finding that we have an entire, just a plethora of places right here in our own backyard that are outside, like, you know, your guest was saying. And also, we have these state parks. We forget about these places. These are beautiful places. We have even the Arboretum. I don't even know if that's open yet. But,
it is.
You know,
the Arboretum. Yes, it is open.
Several places in Virginia that are close by where, you know, you can just take a day trip and just explore. I don't know how many people have even gone downtown Washington, D.C. You know, there are places you can take advantage of that are free. And you know, I'm not ready to go out of the country yet.
Well, Wanda, thank you so much for your phone call. So, Javon, you mentioned the checklist. And let's talk about people who are ready to hop on a plane and you know, travel overseas, maybe to the Caribbean or something on this side of the planet. What's on that checklist? What should you know?
Well, the first thing is you need to vet the destination. You want to take a look at where they are with their COVID numbers and their COVID handling. You need to check and see what kind of facilities they have there. As Lucinda said earlier, if you do not produce a negative PCR test, then you have to stay at the destination until you can produce one. That could be up to 2 weeks. So you need to understand that. Understand what their medical facilities are like. You don't want to go to a destination that does not have adequate medical facilities in the event you need to be hospitalized. You need to have traveler's insurance on that list. And I know a lot of people are saying, well, you know, I had traveler's insurance before the pandemic, and then when it happened, my trip canceled, and it didn't cover me for that cancellation. However, it will cover you for medical emergencies, which will include that quarantine period and any hospitalization as well. You want to know where those facilities are in proximity to where you're going. So you don't want to go too remotely at a destination and you don't have access to any of those facilities. So those are really the top things that need to be on that traveler's checklist. But also do the same things you're doing at home, the same precautions. Unfortunately, what happens when some folks go on vacation, even now, they are completely different than when they're at home. They don't take the necessary or the same precautions that they're doing at home. So you still want to social distance when you can. You still want to wear a face mask when you can or when you can't social distance. You still want to have that personal hygiene, washing the hands. One of my nurse friends and a co-host on my show who gives us medical tips on traveling always says at the top of the list, wash your hands. That is the top of the list of helping you with any public health situations. And those are the things that you need to have on your list, basically speaking.
Yeah, and I think the technical term for people not being who they are at home is called the turnip. But you know, now before you turn up and turn out, you really need to, you know, keep an eye on, you know, just your activities, certainly, you know, social distancing, because I think people can get complacent when the news is good here, but things are, as you said, Javon, you know, very different. And look, here's the thing that has been really concerning. And I'll have you both comment on this, but you know, I'll start with you, Javon. Can we just tell people just to behave themselves on the plane? The violence and the attacking of, you know, passengers and flight attendants and the like is really getting out of hand.
It really is. And I think a lot of it can be attributed to some of the other public health conditions we have here in the United States, and one of them is political. And, you know, that's really posing a problem because masks have become that. And so people are talking about infringement on their constitutional rights when the mask has nothing to do with that. The mask has to do with a public health situation. And so being respectful, I have a quote that I always say, wherever you go, go with all your heart. And we just need to be mindful of others, be respectful of others. We're in this space, and I understand we all have this pent-up desire to go out and do things, and we may be dealing with a lot of things, but how hard is it really to be on an aircraft for a certain number of hours and behave? It's not that hard.
Yeah. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. If you are ready to travel, you need to listen to this program. We're going to tell you what you need to know to make sure that you get to your destination safe and sound and come back safe and sound. And we're also going to give you some suggestions regionally where you can save a pretty penny but still have a good time. So stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM channel 141. This conversation will continue also on 96.3 HD2. Don't forget to download the app to your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. Also, you can hear it on 98.3 FM in its entirety. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about traveling this summer as we come out of the pandemic. My guests are Javon Harley, president of Advantage International and host of the Traveling Culturati, and Lucinda Anderson Hughes, the frugal socialite. She's also a travel expert. If you have any questions about traveling or not traveling, traveling near, traveling far, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lucinda, you said your big thing is cruising. When do you believe it'll be a good idea to start cruising again? There's been a lot of news about cruising starting back up.
Well, Harold, as much as I love a cruise, I don't think I'll be ready to go on one until maybe next year. I have several friends in the cruise industry, and they are consistently telling me that they are putting cruises out there in various countries, but every time they sell something for the United States, it gets pushed back. Cruises are definitely like little petri dishes. Everyone's in there together, and the cruise industry is way ahead of a lot of the hand-washing protocols, having the staff gently remind you to do things. But I simply think that the turn-up factor on cruises is so high that it's really hard to control anything, because we have COVID. But we also have norovirus, which is a stomach virus, which is what prompted the cruise industry to kind of really step up the sanitation. There's still other things out here. And as Javon was saying, we have just mental health going on. People are so on edge that they're not on their best behavior. However, I would like to say that when I actually stepped beyond my home and went out into the scary COVID world, I found that it was not at all the way it's been reported on the news.
What do you mean by that?
Well, on the news, you can be made to believe that if you go into any hotel, COVID is just going to jump on you. You know, it's on the surfaces, it's in the sheets, it's in the air. You have to put yourself in a crowd. Because what I have experienced is most of your major brands are, they've enhanced the protocol so much that the TV remotes are wrapped in plastic. Mm-hmm. They have, stickers on the door so that you know if the door has been open since housekeeping went in. I've stayed in several places where they've provided Lysol wipes, and, you know, they're going above and beyond. Even at Universal Studios and Disney, they literally have people walking through asking you to pull up your mask, offering you masks. These things are in effect. So what I keep telling people is sometimes you have to get out there and experience it for yourself before you decide that the only place you can be is at home.
Yeah, good advice.
I concur.
Yeah.
I really concur. I have traveled twice internationally in this year. In January, I went to the Maldives, and in April, I went to Croatia, and my partner went to Dubai just a couple of weeks ago, and we found the same things. The here in the United States, the American Hotel and Lodging Association, they've introduced an industry-wide program called Safe Stay. And they created this over a year ago. And this has created new hotel post-coronavirus safety standards. And you can, some of the hotels will display that seal, the Safe Stay Hotel seal, where they have those enhanced standards throughout the hotel. And yes, it, the hotels where I stayed, the amenities kit has changed a little bit in that it now includes masks and hand sanitizers. And you also get the choice of whether or not you want housekeeping service. So if you don't want anyone in your room during your stay there, you can determine that. If you still want housekeeping service, you can let them know that as well. So, yes, I agree with you 100%, Lucinda. And I felt very comfortable, but everybody has to have their own level of comfort. When we went to the Maldives, we selected the destination because each island is a private resort. And so when you go to that island, you're not there with a ton of different hotels, and you're not out doing a lot of different things. So we were able to create our own little bubble. So then that's one of the things that's trending right now is how do we create that kind of bubble travel? A lot of the things that Lucinda talked about with traveling locally is creating that bubble where you're going to limit kind of that access. And it doesn't mean that you're limiting your enjoyment, because we were in such a serene environment and looking out at the water every day and going swimming every day and really enjoying the island, but knowing we're on an island with a private resort with just about 34 other guests at that time.
So, Javon, help me with this. I get Dubai and I get the Maldives. But, and I, you know, I'm a news guy, so you're going to help me. You're going to have to help me with this. Beyond the fact that it's there, I mean, Croatia, it's in the Balkans. Why? What am I missing? Because, you know, I mean, honestly, when I think Croatia, you know, I think of, you know, civil war and all kinds of other things. So help me. What am I missing?
Well, Croatia was created out of that civil war. It's like 30 years now they're celebrating their independence. And it is a beautiful Mediterranean country. It's right along the Adriatic Sea. It's a very authentic destination. A lot of farm-to-table, small business type of experiences. The food is wonderful. Wonderful wine, olive oil, lavender, all of these things are produced there. Actually, the Zinfandel grape originated in Croatia when they did the DNA on the grape, because America took the grape and said, yeah, the grape is from here. Actually, when they did the DNA on it, it originated in Croatia. So it's a wonderful culinary experience. It's a wonderful Mediterranean experience. And a lot of people think they don't have diversity there, but it's regional diversity. They do have diversity there.
Something to think about. Back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, D. Calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Dee. What's on your mind?
Hi. I am one of the people who's ready. I'm just ready to travel now, but I'm not gung-ho about it. I'm actually planning my first trip probably after the holiday weekend this weekend, and it'll be a three-hour trip to Virginia. So that's my first time traveling since the pandemic. And thank you to your guests for the checklist that she gave information about. I did take notes on that. A lot of those things I hadn't even considered. What I'm a little bit concerned about is that I have a cruise that's been postponed three times. So it's scheduled now for September of this year. It's to Eastern Europe, Bulgaria, Croatia, Serbia, Romania. And even though that these are Eastern Europe countries, I feel a little more comfortable about going, but I'm not really as comfortable as I'd like to feel about going. just because of something your guest mentioned about getting back home and being quarantined out of the country. That's something I think I would just be a horror, or an absolute horror story for me. But I am definitely ready to travel.
So how do you handle that, Javon? And even before you answer that, so Dee, are you flying to Eastern Europe and then cruising?
Yes.
So go ahead, Javon.
That was going to be my question. I kind of figured that would be the case to cruise around Europe. But check with the cruise line that you are on and ask them what are their protocols and procedures in the event you do not produce a negative PCR test, and what kind of assistance they're providing you with. And definitely make sure you have traveler's insurance, because the ship may have their own set of protocols and procedures that they're working with. I'm not sure about that particular line, but a lot of lines are making it a requirement that all crew and cruisers have been vaccinated. But we know the vaccine doesn't stop you from getting COVID. It just helps your body deal with it better.
Yeah. Well, Dee, be safe, whether you're in Virginia or in Bosnia-Herzegovina or wherever you happen to go.
Thank you so much. I will be. And thanks again to your guests.
And send me a postcard, Dee.
I'll do that.
Hey, Harold.
Yes.
Can I chime in on that checklist of things that you need before we move on?
Absolutely.
Okay. I found on Amazon some portable UV air purifiers. They are very small. You can put them in your purse, and you basically plug them into an outlet. So that has been one of the things that makes me feel more comfortable when I go to a hotel room. And one thing that I've noticed is that sometimes the room just kind of has that hotel smell. But after about an hour, the purifier will take that smell out, which indicates that it is working and it is cleansing the air. For an average-sized hotel room, you only need one. But as I've been renting townhomes and things like that, I tend to take three so that I can cover various areas. I also really live by the Clorox Citrate. It is a hospital-grade disinfectant that they use to sanitize the air when they're changing rooms with patients and things like this. Also, Clorox makes a 4-in-1 disinfectant, also known as NutriAir. I think that's by Lysol.
Mm-hmm.
But all of these things cleanse the air. You can test them even at your home. Like if you burn something on the stove and you spray any of these, it's like it disappears. So when I go into a hotel room, a rental facility, anything like this, the first thing I do is I make a complete circle. Like I spray around in a circle, I plug up the air sanitizer, and then I go get my bags. So I have a couple of things like that that I do. And in addition, I've taken just like an extra blanket, my own pillowcases, just some small things like that. Perhaps it's overkill, but it makes me feel more comfortable, and I feel that I've done that extra step that maybe the housekeeper hasn't done. And believe me, I've been uber cleaning hotel rooms for decades, and if you ever wipe the remote, the telephone, and some the headboards and look at the wipe, you will never go into a hotel room and not do that again.
Hmm.
Yeah, those things were on my checklist long before the pandemic. Those high touch point areas. You just kind of think if you want to touch it, think it needs to be disinfected. And again, going back to even washing the hands, these are practices that I used before the pandemic. So these aren't just for the pandemic, and I agree with you 100%, Lucinda. You have to reach your own comfort level and do the things that will make you more comfortable to take that anxiety out of it.
Hmm. Sounds like a good idea, particularly, you know, if you have to, you want to make sure that you're feeling better, you know, for yourself.
Correct.
And if you have to give it the once over after it already has had the once over, you know, more power to you. Go ahead and do that. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Thomas, yes. Calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Yes, I was saying that my wife and I, we're about to travel to Cancun, Mexico for a wedding. And we both thought that we should get vaccinated to cover ourselves. But I wanted to know, you know, I heard your guest speak about having traveler's insurance so that if we do get there and for some reason we test negative, that we would have to stay maybe an additional 14 days and to get traveler's insurance, which is a big plus. And I like what the guest just said about going into the hotel room and wiping everything down, bringing your own pillowcases and everything. And that's all fine. My concern is if we are in a place so remote that we can't get hospitalization if we do test negative, what can we do?
You mean if you test positive?
If we test positive.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's not necessary that you will be hospitalized if you test positive. You're only hospitalized if you have severity. So what typically happens is you will stay at the hotel or resort that you're already staying at, and they may have specific rooms that they have for that. Every hotel is supposed to have some rooms that they hold out of inventory for that reason. So again, it's very important that you know what the hotel and or resort's policies and protocols are. And that's one thing you want to ask them. Are they booking to capacity? How often are they turning over the rooms? Some hotels are still operating at a lower capacity so that when they turn over a room can be out of commission for at least a few days before they put another guest in that room. So these are the things in that checklist that you want to make sure that you have, and it's very important. You can go to their website. Most of them now have that COVID protocol that you can click on and see their whole list, and if you're not satisfied or getting the answers that you want to contact them. But asking those post kind of questions, what happens if I test positive and I need to stay? So again, testing positive doesn't always mean that you have to be hospitalized, but you do want to know, where am I going to stay for that quarantine period?
And Thomas, I know you said that you and your wife are thinking about getting vaccinated prior to going to Cancun. You need to get vaccinated prior to going to Safeway.
We've already been vaccinated.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was going to say, I mean, you know, you tell people, I mean, you know, look, I understand that some people still may have some reservations, and we talk about this, you know, all the time. I've been vaccinated since February 28th, okay? And, you know, whether you're going to, you know, to Cancun or Italy or Hawaii or Hawaii Avenue, you know.
Even going to the store, I still wear my mask. I come home, I wash my hands. I keep a bottle of sanitizer in my truck. And even when I go in the store, I sanitize my hands before I go in. I sanitize my hands when I come out. Of course, I have my mask on. And, you know, just because you've been vaccinated already, you still got to take those precautionary measures to protect yourself as well as others.
Absolutely. Well, you know, be safe when you go on this trip and have a good time. Have a good time.
Yeah, we will, and I will send you a postcard.
You know, look at you. Definitely.
And one more thing about the travel insurance, one quick thing. Lots of people don't realize that travel insurance is also sold as an annual policy.
Yes.
And the annual policy covers road trips as well.
Explain that. When you say annual policy, do you mean through your insurer that you may use for car insurance or homeowners insurance or something like that?
No, the travel insurance companies tend to be completely different entities. Basically, you can buy a policy that covers you for a period of time.
So we don't really think about it as traveling when we get in our car and go visit our sister two states over. But you actually are traveling, and many things can happen. Flat tire, all kinds of things that are unanticipated on the road. So you can actually buy coverage, and you decide if you want it to be worldwide, if you want it to include medevacking out of a remote area, as the caller said, whether you want to be able to cancel for any reason. All of these things can stay with you all year long, and you'd be surprised at how economical it is compared to what happens when you blow a tire on the road and you have to get a tow truck, and now you have to stay overnight, maybe, and these kinds of things.
Yes, it's. I have annual traveler's insurance because I do travel a lot. I mean, I travel for my business as well, but I do maintain annual, and then for different trips that I do, if the maximum coverage doesn't cover the cost of that particular one, then I get riders or add-ons for that. But it is a great thing to have because there's only a certain number of miles away from your home that you need to go before you're covered, and it's a lot less than you may think. So it may be even be if you're within your same state, if you're within or you're outside of that mileage, it's going to cover you, and it is more affordable. Typically, they have about a $3,000 cap on them, but they're very good to have because, as Lucinda said, there's so many things that traveler's insurance cover that we don't think about. We all think about trip cancellation insurance. Traveler's insurance, or a comprehensive one, isn't just cancellation. It's hospitalization. It's medevac. It's those extended stays. It's travel interruption. It's so many other things.
Well, Thomas, thank you so much for calling. And certainly I hope that you and your wife have a wonderful time heading down to that wedding.
Thank you. Thank you for your information. Thank you for your guests. It's been very, very knowledgeable and information that we needed. And I will look into the traveler's insurance. And I need an address to send you the postcard.
Just send it to the station, 529 Bryant Street, Northwest DC 2059.
Yeah, it's a great show, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Thomas. One of the things that I am curious about, Javon, since you've done this international travel, what impact do you believe the pandemic has had on the cost of international travel? And is there any place you would not go yet?
Oh, boy. That second one is a loaded question. But, yes, there's been a impact, not necessarily just on the cost of travel itself, but on economies globally, obviously. The travel and tourism industry, hospitality industry, which also includes restaurants and all of that, these industries have suffered greatly. The good news is that it hasn't affected the travel prices as much, but right now what I'm already seeing for summer travel is that airfares are going up and accommodations are going up because the demand is there, but since the accommodations and the air is not back 100%, we have that supply and demand issue. So that's when you'll see prices creep up. And I've seen about a 6 to 10% increase across the board, except for car rental. That seems to be the biggest one because car rental companies sold off so much of their fleet during the pandemic. And that's why you're going to pay $300 to $500 a night a day, for example, for car rental in high areas like Florida and Hawaii and so forth. So car rental is really astronomical right now. But the cost of travel at this time hasn't gone up exponentially. It's really the economic impact that we've dealt with. I'm not going to name any particular destinations, but what I will say is if I go to travel.state.gov and I look up a country and I see that their numbers are out of control, if I see that they don't have the proper medical facilities or those extra things that I talked about earlier, I'm not going there.
Mm. Lucinda, yeah. Give me another regional a destination or activity that would be good for couples or families during, because this is the summer travel season. I mean, it's starting. This is the weekend.
Yes. There is an area of West Virginia. Now, you know, African Americans in West Virginia, these are not two things that go together naturally in the mind. But I've been traveling to West Virginia since the 90s, not to date myself, but Berkeley Springs is 2 hours from D.C., right up 70 and 270. It is definitely wild and wonderful West Virginia. There are natural hot springs. There are Roman baths. And you really go into a room with a bath full of natural spring water that's naturally heated, and it's called Taking the Waters. They have spa facilities that are a little primitive in their state park area, all the way up to really nice spas and one Asian spa that's in town. Food is great because there are no chain restaurants in Berkeley. Everything's locally owned, farm to table, locally sourced. It's mountainous. It's fresh air. Lots of Airbnbs, lots of deluxe cabins. Anything you think you want to do, from horseback to rafting to all kinds of things. And it's the kind of refreshing thing that, unfortunately, as African Americans, we don't always trust ourselves to do. You know, we're into the luxury, and believe me, I am. But when I go to Berkeley Springs, it's just such a natural experience. It's a wonderful place to go. Another thing I wanted to also highlight with this checklist and places to go, I want to talk about food for a moment.
Sure, go
now,
ahead.
Now, you know, Washingtonians, we're used to the 24-hour McDonald's, everything being available. One of the biggest issues I found in driving during the pandemic is that things that used to be 24 hours are not. Lots of places that you used to be able to go into to use the bathroom are closed, like the inside is closed and they only have the drive-through. There's nothing like traveling south. It's 2 a.m., you're pushing to your destination, and you can't find any food.
Absolutely.
And so this situation has prompted me to add even more to my kit. When you get to your hotels, a lot of times it may be 9 p.m. That's not late on a Friday night. But guess what? The restaurants close at 7:30 or 8. So depending on where you are, you may really be stuck with nothing but the local 7-Eleven. So you really need to prepare and have snacks in your bag. Just have a various amount of things that you might be able to work with at your destination.
That's really good advice. I mean, and look, you don't have to travel to encounter that. I mean, look, when I'm driving home to Baltimore, and if I happen to be spending just an extra half hour or an hour here at work getting some things finished, and then I get there and I want to get takeout, you know, I want to get Chinese, I'm kind of like, oh, they're closed at 10 o'clock.
Exactly.
Yeah, so yeah. That, you know, that's definitely, you know, I can't get my shrimp lo mein or what have you. My goodness. So.
And it's even worse on the road.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I just said it's even worse on the road because you don't have a sense of, you know, where else you can get these things.
Yeah.
One of the things I took up, well, I've always loved to cook, but I did that even more during lockdown. And so one of the things that I've perfected is the granola. I make my own granola, and it's great because you have your nuts and your dried fruits and your oats, so it's somewhat healthy. I won't say that mine is healthy because it's not sugar-free or fat-free, but it is a great snack that gives you some protein. So some of those things you can take, and it travels well.
Are we talking chewy or the crunchy?
We're talking a combination of the two.
Okay, because, you know, I'm not doing that crunchy granola stuff.
I like the chewy, too.
Yeah, I'll take chewy, you know.
It's not crunchy.
And, yeah, and I want to say, you know, I was, and this is something that I would highly recommend, you know, whether it's in, you know, Baltimore or Annapolis or, you know, on the Eastern Shore or even on Virginia's Western Shore, you know, go sailing. I mean, there's something you can do. I was supposed to go tomorrow, but the weather's not going to be good, so I just postponed it. And I'm going to go in a week or so, you know, weather allowing. It is really very relaxing, you know, lots of fun, and you know, you're outdoors for the most part.
Water is very, very calming, and I loved all of the suggestions that Lucinda made, because the
other thing
we need to realize is peace of mind. We really need to kind of center ourselves and think about our mental health and kind of recalibrate ourselves, and all of those things that you talked about really lends ourselves to that.
Javon Harley, Lucinda Anderson-Hughes, thank you both for talking to us. Be safe in your travels. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, May 27th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night.